Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Ed. Steve Jordahl joins us now.
Good morning.
How you doing, Brother Steve?
I'm well. It's a good day out there. A little cooler today than it has been the last couple of days. Not a lot, but a little.
In your office or?
No, walking across the street. My office is a 75 the whole day and night, I think.
So, 75.
I don't know what the temperature is, but it's constant and it's
too hot for me.
Livable.
All right, Steve, with us this half hour. Hey, quickly, we're going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown for our Christian Heritage Tour coming up in September. Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown are open for business. We've been talking to them, so everything should be fine there. If you want to join us for that trip, you want to get out of the house, you're tired of sitting at home and being safe, right? I'm so sick and tired of the stay-at-home commercials, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had it. I mean, how many times do you need to go to Lowe's and Home Depot, okay? Anyway, I digress and I rant. We're going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, where it all started. My apologies to Boston and Philadelphia. Jamestown in particular. Anyway, if you want to go with us, we're going to have a wonderful time with Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, our historian, and have some fun, eat some good food, and learn about God's hand on our early American history. Go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. If you want a brochure in the mail sent to your home, this costs 800 families, 800 families, and then touch number 5, and you'll get leave your name and your address and tell them you want the Williamsburg brochure.
But touch number 5 with a gloved hand.
Duly noted, Ed, as you social distance.
That's right.
Before you touch number 5, you need to look around.
That's right.
See, is anybody within 6 feet of me?
That's right.
Before I touch
I'm breathing on this phone.
All right, I got a question for you guys, just simple question, and then Steve's going to break into the news for us. I mentioned last half hour that Joe Biden, the former vice president, has said he is not for detaining anyone who comes here illegally.
Catch and release.
He has said that, yes.
Yes. Okay, that's indistinguishable for all practical purposes from having no borders at all. It's y'all come. Now, it really is. If you're not going to detain, you're going to tear all down the detention centers. I guess you just hand out coupons for Pizza Hut.
Are they going to tear down the wall too?
As they come across, huh?
Are they going to tear down the wall?
Oh, they will. Oh, they will. Joe Biden.
Then I agree with you 100%. Yeah.
Well, I would say technically.
Nuance it for us, Ed.
Yeah, technically it's not open borders because I think the way Joe Biden will explain that is he will say, oh, no.
First to say, and then he'll explain it. Go ahead, though. I'm sorry.
Okay. And then the way he will explain it, there's going to be a lot more of that for the next 103 days, isn't it, before the election. He will say, oh, no. These folks will have to appear for their hearing. Okay. But
you get a they get a certificate.
Yes, that's right. They'll get a piece of paper that will tell them they
LOL.
Need to. Yes, LOL.
LOL, so, we all know what's going on.
That's
there.
Right.
Now, here's my question. If the Democrats have their way with getting rid of the borders, basically, again, for all practical purposes, in other words, would there be a reason for international travelers who are coming into America to have papers, valid papers, to have passports, for example, or visas?
Well, let's see.
Could you not? You see what I'm saying?
The answer, I think, is, if I understand the question, is No, you could come in without papers that way, but...
Because you get to come in on the southern border without papers.
Right, but you'd have to get into Mexico. You'd have to hike with some caballeros, and you'd have to brave a couple things. It's not going to happen with everybody, but it could.
To get into Mexico, you'd have to have a passport.
Do you
see my point here? Because if the American government is going to say everybody's free now that Trump's gone to come into our country, we'll give you a court appearance date that you can come back to, wink wink, and then when you get in here, free health care for everybody. All the Democrats are for free health care.
Yeah, right.
For anybody who can come here,
who can get in here,
they're for free health care. We're not making this up.
They all raised their hand.
Yeah, this is so. It just does beg the question to me. It seems like somebody could argue, "Hey, why can't we get in? Why can't I come from Angola, or why can't I come from Yemen, or why can't I come from, Tibet or wherever, and just." When I get to New York or L.A. or Chicago or Dallas or Atlanta, I fly into the U.S., just give me a certificate of a court appearance date, if that's what you want to do. But don't require me to have a passport when you're not requiring anybody from coming into your country on foot to be passport.
Well, you're using logic in your approach to this issue. And that's not what's going on. I think what the Democratic Party will say is, absolutely, if you're going to fly in here, you have to have a passport. That'll be enforced. You can't come in without a passport. They're just talking, really, about that southern border. So if you can get into Latin America without a passport, and as Steve said, you can find a way to get in over the southern border, then you are home free.
You will see a big increase. You'll see those caravans starting up again.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
I believe they'll welcome it. I still believe
a majority of Americans are opposed to letting everybody in who wants to come in to our country and paying for all their health care. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe Democrat.
Well, if you support Joe Biden, that's what you're for. Now I know people aren't all. We're not one issue voters. Most people have. You know, they may say I disagree with him on that. But I'm for him on five other things. So there is some balance there. But when you're talking about whether you believe you want a sovereign nation or not, that has to be ranked pretty high mm-hmm. on your list of priorities, it would think to me, even to Democrats. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Trump derangement syndrome and the hatred for President Trump is so great that will carry the day.
Well, I did yesterday. I played the clip of Joe Biden saying one of the first thing on day one, he was going to end what he calls the Muslim ban.
Right.
Now, what that is a list of countries that President Obama drew up, his administration drew up.
While Biden was VP.
Yes. And it's a list of countries whose governments are unstable and unable to really control who comes in and out of their country. So this is a way of keeping terrorists and
jihadis. Guess who or what religion are jihadis, Steve?
Muslim.
Yeah. Okay. You don't see many Episcopal jihadis.
No.
Out there trying to get into America.
But you also don't see a ban from Saudi Arabia.
Which is a Muslim country.
A Muslim country that does have control of its infrastructure.
Yes. Okay. Gotcha. Point well taken. Anyway. All right. So tell us what you want.
Well,
14 minutes in as Tim gets through.
Well, it's fine.
What do you want to lead with?
So I'm going to borrow a phrase from Abe. If you haven't listened to the Hamilton Corner, it's a must listen every day. I'm going to start with some foolishness du jour, as he likes to say. I want to start with Nancy Pelosi, who was on CNN with Wolf Blitzer. I tell you, my dislike for this woman grows by the day. And I know that might not be Christian, and I pray for her soul, but man, she lies. Well, anyway, listen to cut eight.
Clearly, it is the Trump virus.
Well, what do you mean when you say the Trump virus?
The Trump virus. If he had said months ago, let's wear a mask, let's socially distance instead of having rallies and political whatever they were, then more people would have followed his lead as the president of the United States, instead of being a bad example, making it like a manhood thing not to wear a mask. So in any event, was weird because a briefing on the coronavirus should be about science, and that is something the president has ignored. It should be about governance, and now he's finally embracing saying, okay, it's okay to wear a mask. So I think a good deal of what we have suffered is clearly the Trump virus.
So what you're saying is that thousands of Americans have died because of what the president has done or not done? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm saying. I think it's clearly evident.
Why did you do that, Steve? That
I'm going to redeem the time, believe me.
I'm going to go have to eat a pizza or something after that. That was filled with lies.
Absolutely.
Absolutely filled with lies. The president never said don't wear masks. He was, this whole thing with him on the masks is because when he would have press conferences or whatever, he would not wear a mask. And what he told people when he was asked is, I am socially distanced right now, and I am tested, and all the people around me are tested all the time.
By the way, her assertion that if Trump had said wear a mask, everybody was going to do that, that presupposes that everybody respects what the president says. And by her admission, nobody does. Nobody follows the president. So I don't know what she's saying.
No, that was a lie fest. That was
just the one. What she's trying to do there is attach the deaths and our problem with the pandemic, deaths from it. Just lay it all on President Trump. Mm-hmm. You know, listen, President Trump is a human, and the virus was new and novel. That's what novel means, right? New.
Right.
A lot of people, including major health organizations, didn't know exactly how this would, excuse the pun, pan out.
Mm-hmm. Including
how it would spread.
Nancy Pelosi.
Including Dr. Fauci.
Yep.
Come to Chinatown.
Yep.
Yeah, so if President Trump made mistakes along the way, so did everybody else.
And other countries, same way.
Yes. So, personally, if you look, President Trump, he's the one that asked Dr. Fauci to come on board.
Yes.
He's the one that asked Dr. Birx to come on board, help us with this.
Right.
Okay. Just because he doesn't line up with everything those health professionals say every day doesn't mean he doesn't believe in stopping the spread of the virus. He's the one that said, let's shut it down.
Well, and if I recall, now you guys, I may be wrong on this, but earlier when he was having an everyday meeting and press conference with Fauci and Birx, they didn't wear masks when they were speaking.
No, they didn't.
They didn't wear masks.
That started about halfway in.
And let me just rip Wolf Blitzer too. Not that it's going to do any good. He did not push back on Nancy Pelosi on any of that. In fact, he led the witness, Your Honor.
It was such
softball. What you are saying is this is all Trump's fault. Why didn't he push back on some of the assertions that the Speaker of the House made?
Yeah.
And we all know the reason for that. But
the Democrats and the media, CNN, for example, they're just hoping that the misery continues.
Yes.
And we don't have an economic bounce back, as indicators are that we are having one, so that the middle of the road voter out there, or the undecided or the independent voter out there, will turn against President Trump and will share her view that this is all his fault. So we're calling it the Trump. So she's going to the Trump virus. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. By the way, I just got to play this, maybe hopefully one last time. Brent, do you have Dr. Fauci on face mask?
Yes.
Okay, again, I want to set this up because she's there blaming President Trump. She's calling it the Trump virus. If he had done A, B, or C, this thing wouldn't have spread. Which,
and if
by
he
the
had
way,
followed science.
He's followed science.
And scientists.
Right. Instead, yeah. So I want you to listen to what Dr. Fauci said in March. Now, just listen. And the Surgeon General of the United States said the same thing. He said, stop buying masks. exclamation point at the same time. Listen to what one of the world leaders in infectious diseases said in March.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask, and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course, of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill.
Okay, I don't want to be unfair here. He didn't dismiss the use of masks altogether. He left himself some wiggle room out there for coming back and saying, now wear a mask. And he did say, at this time, okay? But he did say, but he also said in the middle of a pandemic. Didn't he say that?
Yes.
So I guess what if you listen to that, and President Trump decides not to wear a mask, he's not going against what quote science teaches,
right?
Huh?
In fact, he's following the head of the National Institutes of Allergies and Infectious Disease.
Yeah, and I would, as we said yesterday, I subscribe to that Dr. Fauci right there. That is to say that the mask may help. A droplet here or there, but he's saying people have a false sense of security by wearing these things and may do other things, Steve, like violate social distancing.
Thinking
because they say, hey, I got a mask on, I can...
I don't remember where it was, but I saw...
I can get it within 2 feet of
an
people.
An ordinance that says that everybody over 2 years old, needs to remember, 2 years old and over, has to have a mask.
Where was this?
I'm trying to remember where it was. I saw it this morning.
In the United States?
I think so.
Over 2 years old.
Well, guess what I'm doing? I'm taking all the 2-year-olds to their office, okay? And they can babysit. Mask on 2-year-old. That's insane, huh? I don't know. All right, Ed, you want to take a deep breath? Then I will.
I will.
Okay. All right, this is.
Hey, don't turn the other way, please.
Oh,
when you exhale, if you would.
Yes,
because you're not wearing a mask.
You baited me on that one. You said, take a deep breath. Now what am I supposed to do with it?
You're not wearing a mask. Get out of my presence, you sinner.
This is the American Academy of Pediatrics.
Really?
Yes. Cloth face coverings for children during COVID-19. And they say, should children wear face coverings? Children under the age of 2 should not wear face coverings.
Everyone else?
Everyone else should.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah.
Hmm? Don't issue statements when it's impossible to accomplish them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Give me something you can use. Huh?
It's like when they issue things like no one under the age of 18 should use cell phones. They should stay away from screens.
Right.
Okay. Next. Everyone should eat Brussels sprouts.
Okay, I'm listening.
Yeah.
It ain't happening, but I'm listening. Go ahead and tell me. All right, Steve, next story.
All right. We've been talking about so much mayhem and darkness in this country. I was going to play a clip of a lady in London saying that we need to get rid of all white men. It's all the white man's fault. We've seen these killings every night in Chicago. We've seen the anarchists on the street that want to spread their poison around.
You're not helping, Steve.
And, well, it's been dark. And we keep saying that there's a spiritual component to this. Well, I do have some good news, because there appears to be a move of God in California. Thousands of people showing up at Huntington Beach in Orange County every Friday, getting saved and baptized, and it's been happening the last 4 Fridays, and it's going to be happening, according to the person who is putting this together, for the foreseeable future. I wanted to play you a little bit of my story that's running today, which kind of puts it together concisely. Brent, can you play clip 9? Last Friday evening on Huntington Beach at Lifeguard Tower number 20, a couple thousand people, children and parents, the young and the old, had what old-timers say reminds them a little bit of the Jesus movement of the 60s.
It's the Lord working through Parker and Jesse Green, two of his willing servants who heard the call.
In 2016, we decided to move from New York to California because we saw a few visions and through prayer really believed God was going to do something in Orange County.
For the last year, they've been preparing the soil, partnering with local churches and doing evangelism training.
The vision that we saw is happening, and people are getting saved and baptized and then going out and sharing the gospel throughout the week and coming back the following week and baptizing people.
The first weekend, a few hundred people. The second weekend, around 1,000. This last weekend, around 2,000. The plans are open-ended. Green says there's a real thirst for the peace of God in these troubled times.
God's timing really is always perfect, and he knew that COVID was going to happen. He knew the BLM stuff was going to happen, and all along he was orchestrating this perfect opportunity for people to come to him.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Now, of course, we knew you were going to do this story because we said we got to give folks some hope that
Absolutely.
God is still working in this country.
Ladies and gentlemen, please pray for this revival in Huntington Beach.
And you know
relentlessly,
what?
Relentlessly, every day.
This, which I didn't know this was happening in Huntington Beach until you brought this up, and we'll be interested to see how this progresses as the weeks go on. This is kind of a big thing that's going on, you know, one of those things that's doubling every weekend. But there are a lot of things that are going on around the country behind the scenes in small locations. Maybe they're not as out front at the beach, California, as this one is. But there are a lot of things going on behind the scenes. And my encouragement to Christians is that we need to remember that we stand on God's word. It's really easy to get caught up in all the stories and all the news, but this is amazing, and God can do that in every state, and he can do that all over the world.
He can.
He's just looking for Christians who will get out and get involved, but prayer right now is a necessity.
I don't think we can pray enough for this. If this is another Jesus movement of the 60s, remember what that brought? The whole Calvary Chapel movement, tons of who now are scholars and elders in the Lord.
Right.
So the solution that they're offering to the ills of America is not a political solution. They could care less who you vote for. It's a spiritual solution. It's healing the soul of this country. It's what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. If my people come and call my name, I'll heal their land. And so that's what I hope and pray is happening in Southern California. I am so excited to see what's going to happen out
of
this.
And I encourage people who are listening. I know what I read a lot of the comments on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of godly Christian prayer warriors who listen to this show. I also encourage them to pray against the inevitable counterattack that will come. Yeah. I can expect the governor of California and others to try to squelch that because of the growing crowds, even though they applaud the protests in major cities. Let's pray for this to continue, to grow, happen elsewhere, and change the heart of this nation.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're all good news all the time here now, folks.
Thank you, folks, for listening to today's issues. We appreciate you joining us. We hope you have a wonderful day. Keep listening to American Family Radio. The Bible teaching of Alistair Begg is straight ahead. And then Bishop Jackson and Brian and Mickey and the rest of the crew this afternoon. You'll enjoy listening to those folks. Have a wonderful day, folks. See you tomorrow.